How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Welcome to my brother's room in Southern California.
That's a good room.
It is.
See?
There's a picture of Jason Witten over here.
That's random.
I'm not kidding. Look.
That's amazing.
It's autographed.
That is amazing, amazing.
Hey, you wanted the Cowboys. You get them.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. How was your walk? Was it good?
It was. It was 8.5 miles, and I'm dead inside.
Wow.
And that's not enough to burn off anything of what I've eaten so far this trip.
I know that's right.
I got to do 2 more of these, and I have quite the belly. So, yeah, good times.
Good for you. You should be able to sit and eat and enjoy and be around your family. That's a big deal.
Yeah, not common. Yeah,
it's really good. All right, you ready?
I like the pics behind you.
Yeah, you're in it. It's you.
And like, there's one. Who are you talking to? Is that the mayor?
Yeah.
Is that the mayor interview?
It's the mayor interview.
Bears. What is the picture? When did you take that picture on the, is that a Guaranteed Rate Field on the left?
Yeah, the Sox photographer took that for me.
Oh, Darren?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's the rally.
Oh, very cool.
Then me on stage, and then the Chicago Vice poster.
The Chicago Vice poster is my favorite.
It's pretty clutch.
That's awesome.
Yeah. This was like one of my favorite days ever.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. The Sox opener at Cork and Carry.
Hell yeah. Can't beat that with a stick.
No. And you actually got to go to the game.
Well, no. Remember, I didn't go to the game. Remember, that's when Dan's car got towed.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But it just got moved. It didn't.
Yeah, it just got moved to Bronzeville, which is also really strange.
I've never in my life heard of a car being moved.
It's so beyond, man.
I don't know why that gets me every time.
It's funny.
Because it's just not something that happens. You either get your car towed or like something else. You don't just get it moved.
You don't get it moved without anyone telling you where it might actually be. Like
for
that
some reason.
So weird.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of something you would have seen on the TV show Southside or like Detroiters or something like that. Like it's regional enough to be hilarious.
Very much what you would see on the show Southside. Very much.
Like, did your car get towed? Nah, it just got moved.
No, they just moved it across the expressway. It's just over there somewhere. Do you know where? Nah. But if you just keep walking, maybe you'll run into it.
That for some reason, like, kills me. Like, when I just think of, like, funny things, that's up there.
It should be on the list, because that was really stupid. Really.
It was random as hell.
Yep.
Like, if you want to mess with somebody, that's the way.
That's definitely the way. I just imagine someone's like, oh, that's Bernstein's car? Oh, yeah, we're going to move it. Where to? It doesn't matter. Just, we're moving it.
Did you hear Dan talking about TSA pre TSA, like, and somebody like just giving him the business and all this, and he's like, "Tell Terry I did that."
That's great.
I said something about drug dealing and how I wasn't here to criticize anybody's jobs, and I was like, I'm not gonna knock the hustle. And somebody was like, as an addict, you're advocating for murder anytime drug dealer gives an addict, sells an addict drugs, they don't care. And I'm just like, I can never, like, somebody's got to talk down to me about something, right? Yep. Like, because I was advocating for drug dealers selling to addicts as an act of murder?
Not at all. But people, like, are the worst.
I mean, I get it. He's like he's an addiction counselor, but it's like, that's not what I was saying.
We all know that's not what you were saying, except for
somebody's always got to purposefully misunderstand it. Somebody always has to purposefully misunderstand. I can't believe Layla advocated for drug dealing. That's not what I was saying.
No, not at all.
That's not hustle. You know, selling your own wares is hustle. Like, I'm like, okay, dude, but I'm always going to be your fan. Okay.
You're stalkers.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Show them no love. All right, you ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. All right, I'm going to hit record. And we are underway. Hey! Look who it is. Look who stopped by the podcast today. It is Layla Rahimi. Layla's room, like, literally. Well, her brother's room, but still. That's right.
It is. It is my brother's room at the House of Hell. Look, here's an autographed picture of Jason Witten.
That is.
Because when I say they care about the Cowboys, I don't make it up.
This is so random, but also so excellent. I'm sorry to disturb you while you were having time off with your family, but it occurred to me that you might want a microphone, considering what's been going on with the Chicago Bears. So the floor is yours. First of all, how about this? Walk me through what you were feeling while watching the last 32 seconds of the Bears-Lions game.
I mean, my dad and I are watching. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving lunch-ish here, dinner here on the West Coast. And there is something to be said about a central time zone dweller having to wake up early for a person who typically works nights historically to get my act together, to have time to watch a Bears game that kicked off at 9:30 in the morning. And I'm like, why did I spend family time doing this? And it's always funny because my dad messes with me about covering terrible teams, because it started when I was with Fox Sports San Diego and the Padres. He's like, why are you covering this team? And then it escalated when I went to the Houston Astros and Rockets, and the Astros had put together three straight 100 loss seasons.
Yikes.
He's like, why do you keep doing this? Then I go to Philadelphia, where the Phillies were also very bad that year. So you see a pattern emerging here. We won't even get into the White Sox.
Jeez.
So of course, here I am in Chicago talking about the Bears, and this is where I did the show on Wednesday. And I'm laughing because he's like, why aren't they calling a timeout? What's going on here? He's like, can't they see the clock is going down to like zero? He's like, I don't know that much about football, but this can't be good. And I'm like, the streak continues. And I joke, you know, I try to find ways to make new mistakes, and I find them. But unfortunately, so did the regime of Matt Eberflus. And Dan said to us on Wednesday in the pre-show meeting, he's saying, so this is the day before, you know, is it humane for the Bears to fire Matt Eberflus, you know, at some point? And would that be more humane than keeping him to ride out this stretch? And I had said a couple days prior on the show, what is this time worth to the Bears? because we all knew that the first half of the season was going to need exponential improvement out of Caleb Williams to see the growth that we needed to see out of him in order for the Bears to have a chance at making the playoffs in what is undoubtedly the best division in football. But at that point, even with time ticking down on the clock and watching the Bears somehow stay alive in this game, at no point did I actually think the team was going to fire Matt Eberflus. Even I knew and was schooled in the ways of the Bears. So to see them find yet another way to lose, where again, the players are being blamed as if the head coach is just a spectator and the people who work for him are just spectators. That is the part where I just kept asking. When the players in the room are needing advocates, and when they're speaking the way they are, and when it ruffles the feathers of guys like Olin Krutz, who are used to keeping everything in the room, and he's doing that because he's a strong leader, you know, and you're seeing this facade crack, what was it going to take? And so to me, when I was watching what I saw, at no point did I think that the Bears were actually going to make a move in response to the latest of many debacles this season, where you've seen the development of your quarterback arguably get pushed to the wayside. So to wake up to that news the next day, after he had done the press conference, which I just think is cruel.
I do too.
That is nasty work to put him out there like that. If you had a meeting, delay his appearance.
Yep.
He didn't deserve that. You can say a lot about his in-game tactics, but he didn't deserve that.
I'm with you wholeheartedly on that. Like it, that part of it, and I think a lot of people misunderstand when we raise this criticism. This is not to say that Matt Eberflus deserved to keep his job. He did not.
No.
What to me it proves yet again is that this is another example of the Bears as an organization not being tight, not being buttoned up. And for them to have said, "Oh, you know what we'll do? We'll send him out there and he'll run," like the decision his card should not have worked. Like when he got to the facility on Monday, he should have had to have stopped at security, and then they could have allowed him in and then fired him.
Or at that point, just tell people there's a delay. It's okay.
Yep.
But the fact that we still haven't heard from Ryan Poles is a problem to me.
It's a huge problem. Why is it a problem to you?
I think it's a red flag. And my red flag sensors went up pretty early in this process. The key to me was seeing what happened with the firing of Shane Waldron, which I do think was justified. I'm not picking on that decision either. But when you hear certain buzzwords that Bears teams have used and Bears officials have used for many years, going back to previous general managers, previous head coaches, like collaborative, and then you hear George McCaskey's in the room, and then you wonder where Ryan Poles is. Replace the names and tell me if we haven't had these conversations before. Is this a George McCaskey playbook the team is currently running right now, even though Kevin Warren seemingly is more involved? I think that's a question we deserve to have answered. You know, is this McCaskey telling everybody how to circle the wagons? Because at the end of the day, he's still the owner and PR still does what he says. Like, that's a part of this that we don't, I think, talk about enough sometimes. But when you start to hear familiar words, except they're coming out of different people's mouths, well, what's the common thread there? So how much is George involved right now? And is that the reason Ryan Poles isn't speaking as much? What happened yesterday? It's always somehow not clean, right? Mm-hmm. Either the order of operations isn't clean, the decision-making process isn't clean, the explanation you got wasn't clean. It's like you're looking for the clean inning, so to speak, here. And to leave him to do a press conference just shows again, like, the frayed edges of how the operation should be working. These are the details that if you're a potential head coaching candidate, you're paying attention to, because do you want to get done like that? If you have your choice of where to go in the National Football League, where you think you can make a difference, what message does that send?
I think you nailed it. Like, that's one of those things where you're trying to explain it to people, and people will sometimes like be like, oh, well, you guys are just, it's just the media being mad about whatever. And I'm like, no, like, you have to understand what this looks like from the outside. And if you're trying to sell the Bears as an organization to someone who's a likely candidate, and let's say the money is even, and we know that that's not a given when it comes to the Bears, but let's say the money is even, it's little stuff like this that makes you go, if you're Ben Johnson, you know, like, and you have the choice between Cleveland and the Bears, if the money is even and the opportunity seems to be even, what are those things that you're going to be asking about? And it's going to be about the health of the organization, the level of support that you're going to get. And support is not just keeping your job. Support is also all of those things that surround it. And are you going to be given the best opportunity to go out and win?
And it's the health of the apparatus. Clearly, there's marching orders here. Clearly, somebody's answering to someone. So what does that look like? But here's what I was doing on Thursday night when I was still adjusting to Pacific time. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Was I searching for how many times Matt Eberflus had made excuses and blamed the players for poor decisions? Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Did that happen at 3:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning Central? Maybe it did. Maybe it's called Eberflus excuses. And maybe I started to read some of them. Because you know what came up to me when I was thinking about all of this? So, like, let's start going back here. Let's start going back to all the times during a losing streak Matt Eberflus has blamed the players and blamed execution and had unrealistic thoughts when it came to the concept of what is supposed to happen in a game, when he had unrealistic expectations. Let's go back to the Cleveland game last year, another one-score game, shall we? After Sunday's game on December 21st, 2023, Eberflus said that the Bears should have intercepted the pass that Joe Flacco threw to Amari Cooper that resulted in a 51-yard touchdown, tying the score at 17 with 3:08 to play. Cooper caught the ball between cornerback Terrell Smith and linebacker Tremaine Edmonds and turned upfield and raced down the right sideline. Quote, "That plays a deep crossing route," Eberflus said Monday. "The corner has to make a good vision and break one-third the distance when the ball is in the air. We've got to do a good job of getting him on the ground. A lot of times what you do is you track the ball and not understand where the reception area is, and they've got to do a good job of understanding where it is and get him on the ground." Joe Flacco had already thrown three interceptions in the game. You're expecting the Bears to somehow get a fourth, which was unrealistic. Let's go back to November 5th, 2023, Saints 24, Bears 17. The question is, as I transcribed at 3:30 or so in the morning, "Matt, going back to Justin and that conservative play calling fourth quarter, you have said part of your evaluation of him is seeing him operate the offense in two-minute drills on a game situation. How do you get a full evaluation of him as a quarterback if you aren't letting him throw the ball in those situations? Don't get triggered by the Justin Fields portion of this. Think about the Matt Eberflus portion of this." Quote, "The last play, we talked about the crosser to DJ Moore and he threw it over top. That would have been a spectacular play if we connected on that. We were right there. We just have to do a better job of executing in that moment, and that's what we talked about as a group. Taking accountability about offense, defense, kicking, and finishing the right way, and I think we have to do that." End quote. Both times, who's he throwing under the bus there?
Players.
Would you like to go on?
Let's look sure.
At, Let's look at September 16th, 2024. After two failed challenges against Houston. We have a good process for that, Eberflus said. It's a little bit different when you can't see the monitor right away, and it's a critical play like a third down or a takeaway. So we have to do a little, put a little more weight on those. Sometimes the iPhone autocorrect these days is terrible. So we have to put a little more weight on those, but we have a good process. No, you don't. We've been pretty clean overall since we've been here. Those were just situations where we didn't get a great look at it, and they were critical downs. So we made a decision to do it, and it didn't work out. Is it ever, was it ever about him? And after the article that Diana Russini wrote today in The Athletic, that scathing article, how many times do the players have to tell you? And how many times are people refusing to listen?
Drinking and driving is a decision that could change your whole world. Things will never be the same if you ever get a DUI. Because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way that your world can be turned upside down. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You can face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one that can face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive can permanently impact not just your world, but someone else's world as well. Whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
It's pretty amazing that it even got to this point, and you're right, and I'm glad that you went to the folder and that you got all the receipts as per usual.
Do you see this? November 29th, 2024 at 4:36 a.m.
That's too much.
Why am I like this?
Well, here's the thing, though.
I woke up, and I'm like, I'm going to go into a freaking quote. And I start looking up every post-game story.
You're doing more due diligence than it seemed like the Bears were doing at that same time. Because that's the type of thing where they should have had an answer and response. They should have had an action plan on Friday that didn't include him doing a press conference. You should have been – all ducks should have been in a row. And they were not. And – that's where things stand. Like, this had to happen. You know what amazes me? I don't know if I've ever seen something happen inside of a game that then got universally panned by not people like us, by former players and former coaches. Jimmy Johnson.
J.J. Watt?
Yes.
J.J. Watt never says anything bad about anybody.
You had J.J. Watt say it.
Said fire everybody.
You had Jimmy Johnson say it was the worst piece of game management he's ever seen. You had Bill Cowher say how bad it was. And I think the thing that tipped the scale, Matt Ryan. And yes.
Matt Ryan at the right hand of Ryan Poles.
Ding.
Hard Knocks gave us some clues.
They sure did.
What was the part that Matt Ryan said that was the dagger for you?
He destroyed, when they went back to the CBS desk, he destroyed Eberflus in his decision making and talked about how this was something that continues to go on and is unacceptable. And he's right, but I think that might have been the moment. Like, Ryan Poles can ignore everyone else who had something to say, but he's not going to ignore his confidant, his quarterback, and his friend, maybe his best friend, who felt compelled, whose sensibilities were offended so much by the way that that was handled that he felt it necessary to say on national television to an audience of tens of millions of people, because it was a Bears Island game, that that type of stuff can't continue to happen.
What did you make of the Diana Rossini article talking about, for example, Waldron installing a pure progression offense, which I think makes sense as to why we saw Geno Smith flourish in it, for example, because if that were the case, because Geno Smith is smart enough and capable enough and veteran enough to make it work. But to do that to a rookie?
I mean, look, you guys have been talking with Tim Jenkins all season about this. And,
but the head coach has to step in at some point and say, I don't want this.
Well, because
of his resume and because of his focus that was so obvious to the rest of us, like, we never saw that.
Well, the fact that you had an offense that did something so unorthodox as to not have a first 15, and that wasn't a red flag for Matt Eberflus, that you have players saying that from the OTAs in mini camps, that they felt like the quarterback wasn't being coached properly. Then you get into the season and you have players being like, well, this isn't really working the way that, like, I'm still dumbfounded by the idea of Shane Waldron going into an interview process with Matt Eberflus and being able to snow him into hiring him. How could Eberflus not see, as a defensive guy, how could you not see through a charlatan offensive guy? And why was he the only person to get a second interview? Like, that's wild.
Well, you know why.
Trace Armstrong.
Why. Yeah, because his agent's name rhymes with and also is Trace Armstrong. But the thing that frustrates me is they were so proud of their process and the 9 people they interviewed. They were so proud. They wanted to tell you about it. And I applaud them for telling us about it. I do think that is correct. And like I've said, I do think it is a good thing in concept to have a good relationship with an agent. I do think that is beneficial. But when you can't do your job as a leader and as the head of the organization to diversify your opinion and understand that you're going to weight that guy's opinion more than others, and perhaps that is going to lead you to draw the wrong conclusion, I need you to control for that variable. Look at that blind spot. And, you know, to your credit, you had a GM look at his blind spot and trade for a guy like Khalil Mack. And then the next season, he got general manager of the year. So you've seen that process work itself out in a positive way under your watch as CEO of the team. But then you have a coach and, frankly, a general manager who's not proven yet. I hate to tell everybody that, but this is an excellent example as to why. You have a first-time head coach and a first-time general manager telling you all about their process and all about how they have faith in it, whether it's drafting guys who have traits and gadget players for your first offensive pick of your regime, or trading for people and using valuable second-round picks to do it. You have a group telling you all about how good their process is when every single time it has been proven flawed. And that's where I have a real issue. And you know what? Good for the Bears to make this decision, because you know what's happening now with this quarterback clock? The bell is tolling First, it told for Shane Waldron. Then it told for Matt Eberflus. So who does it toll for next?
Ryan Poles. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Thomas Brown is the interim head coach of this team.
Good for Thomas Brown.
I agree. I'm very much rooting for him to succeed. I would like to see him succeed. Even if he succeeds, though, I don't know if he becomes the best candidate to be the Bears full-time head coach, depending on who is available and who might be interested in the job. But this is a meteoric rise from passing game coordinator 3 weeks ago to now the head coach of the team. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And what I find interesting is how many of our colleagues saw this coming in a way. That was a hot take to me. I'm like, okay, let's ease into this. But it also makes me wonder, was that being put out there by people in the know? And I'm not saying Thomas Brown's people. I'm saying people who might have seen this coming. And if so, that again goes back to the fact that it shouldn't have taken a meeting and a press conference of a head coach and then 2 hours later saying something, if that's the case.
You also didn't do him any favors. And it's, look, you still got a lot of time before your next game, but you didn't do him any favors by allowing that farce to go on where everyone is meeting as if Matt Eberflus is still the head coach of the team. That was a waste of everybody's time. Like you could have just been on to the next thing. Like those are hours that you can't have back. That's preparation and mental fatigue that you can't have back. And it was wasted by the Bears.
I think another piece to this that's really important is, as for the current staff who's left, who do they have loyalty to? Mm-hmm. And how, say Thomas Brown is named head coach, does he keep all those people? Is he made to keep all those people? What happens next regarding real deficiencies in coaching on this team? It didn't stop at Matt Eberflus for me. Not by a long shot when you consider all the ways they've failed in analytics. And frankly, the defense needs to get called. And let's talk about the offensive run game now that the passing game coordinator is set. You know, let's talk about these things. Another piece of this that I thought was pretty interesting was the truth to the cons, or at least according to Diana Rossini's article, the truth to the calls for Tyson Bajan in order to prevent Caleb Williams from getting worse. You know, how many times have we asked the question as hosts, can quarterbacks get ruined in their rookie season or maybe their first two seasons? Can they develop bad habits and therefore have talent be spoiled in the NFL for years to come? And we've gotten conflicting reports on that. But when you hear about players asking, like, should we bring him out here if it's going to make him not the person he is? That tells me a lot about what they think of development and how important it is for a young player.
All right, I'm not going to keep you much longer. Let me just ask you, because you're going to be on the air a lot over the next couple of weeks.
The brain is straight. Yeah, and you'll probably hear a lot of these things talked about on 670 The Score.
And that's okay.
Like, House of L audience and our audience are two different audiences.
Yeah, that's totally fine. What are you most looking forward to as these discussions continue about the Bears? Like, what's something where you're like, man, I can't wait till we as a group like get into some of these subjects?
First of all, I cannot wait to hear Jalen Johnson and DJ Moore on Monday.
I'm with
you. Cannot wait.
I'm with you.
And I've got Football After Dark with DJ Moore.
That's right. That's right. Tell people where you're. Tell people when and where. Where? Gale Street Inn on the 3rd.
Giving out all the tickets. Yeah, Gale Street Inn on the 3rd. And what's crazy is I talked to Jalen Johnson right after Shane Waldron got let go. So, you know, here we are again in the same position. This time it's with DJ Moore. I think I can't wait to hear the players talk about this, but I just want to keep in mind what we're seeing. It is never too late to fix a mistake. Don't just stop at one. Tell me how valuable Caleb Williams' time is and how you want him to be here. You know, and I think about what happened with Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh. And Robert Saleh is a wonderfully respected coach. But the players are always going to be the main focus. And the players are the ones who are getting the most money. And if they're not being utilized to their best possible way, then you're doing it wrong. If your talent isn't being capitalized, if the fit isn't right, then you need to fix it. And that's going to mean finding the best person to maximize the talent of your players.
All right, Layla, I appreciate you jumping on. I know that you still have a couple more hikes to do before you head back. Take in every minute of sunshine that you can, because
it was 77 here today.
Yeah. You know what it felt like this morning when I got up and headed to the gym? The feel like temperature was one.
It felt like 1 degree.
Yep. That's
you didn't even get degrees.
No,
you just got degree.
We just got degree. And it's amazing that like we have already fallen back into this, but we have fallen back into it. Tomorrow's high is going to be 26, but at least the sun will be out. So that's good.
I'm going to do another 8.5 miler and see what I can make of the world out there. I appreciate you letting me talk to you. I thought you did a great job on the score the other day that was yesterday.
Yeah.
You did a great job on the score yesterday.
Thank you.
I listened to it. And I think people do need to be heard on this. I think the calls need to happen. And I think Monday is the right place for it. I feel like there's got to be a lot of that coming up. But man, keep it going. Like, keep this going. Restart however many clocks you need to restart. If it comes to who you think the decisions need to be made on, you've got a clear direction. What is his time worth and what is our time worth?
Yep. These are the facts. All right, yo. Appreciate you as per usual.
I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, Lawrence. I hope everybody out there had a good Thanksgiving. And, you know, nobody wants to go out like that. And I'm sorry it had to happen.
Yeah, but hey, a new day is here. And now we have to like work through all of that. And you at least get at least another 24 hours of sunshine. So go get all that sunshine.
You know, it's really about the sunshine in your heart.
Yes. I learned that.
I'm not kidding.
I learned
what happens when I get sleep and outdoor time in sunny Southern California and spend a little time with my family.
Yeah, I learned all that from Jim Boylan. It's about the sunshine in your heart.
That part is true.
No, you're right. You're right.
You see this plant over here? It's thriving.
It is thriving. You see this?
Saying,
Bears. Bears.
You see Jason Witten over here? He had a good one.
All right, for Layla, I'm Lawrence. Thanks for watching the podcast. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate you over here at House of L. All right, we are good.
Wait, did you appreciate? I'm certainly bringing back the excuses on Tuesday.
Yeah, as you should. Like,
I can't deal with it.
You absolutely should bring back the excuses on Tuesday.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.